Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, today, today.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, all my brothers and sisters everywhere. Yes, my name is Deacon Reed. This is Wednesday evening. This is our Blog Talk Radio Bible reading class. And as I say, my name is Deacon Reed, and I want to welcome all of you to Running for Christ Ministry Bible reading class. We thank God for each of you who join in with us every week. And we ask that you help us by letting someone else know that this Bible class is here on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we'll be reading, we had this last week per se, but tonight we'll be reading Psalms 131 through 135. And following that, we'll be answering a review question. If you would like to be part in answering the review questions or making a comment, just press the number 1, and that will put you in the host queue, and your mic will be open. If you want to ask or answer a question or even make a comment. But please do me a huge favor by keeping all the background noise to a bare minimum or to none at all if it's possible. And to make that possible, a good way to do this is to simply just mute your phone. And we are not speaking and unmuting it when you want to speak. If you want to ask a question, answer a question, or just make a comment, then just unmute your phone. So right now we're going to have a little prayer and we're going to start our Bible reading. Dear Father God, I want to say thank you for this day, for not just myself, but for all my brothers and sisters who's taking part in this. But even if they're not taking part in, still for my brothers and sisters, each and every place you may be at this time, I want to say thank you for all the things that we have not thought you said thank you for today to you, Lord, the things you've done for each individual out there. They may not have said thank you. I'm saying thank you for them. And, Lord, for the ones who have been out here in the rain, I ask that it stop us. I didn't want these brothers and sisters out there in the element with nowhere for shelter. I'm so glad you did that, and I thank you for that. But right now, Father, what we're going to do is read your word, and we go toss it to the left. We go toss it to the right. We go toss it all up and down. But by the conclusion of this, we should have your word in the center of our heart. That's all that counts. Lord, we just say and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'll meet you on the other side.
Psalm 131, a song of ascents, of David. My heart is not proud, Lord, my eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord both now and forevermore. Psalm 132, a song of ascents. Lord, remember David in all his self-denial. He swore an oath to the Lord. He made a vow to the mighty one of Jacob. I will not enter my house or go to my bed. I will allow no sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids till I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling for the mighty one of Jacob. We heard it in Ephrathah. We came upon it in the fields of Jar. Let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool, saying, Arise, Lord, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests be clothed with your righteousness. May your faithful people sing for joy. For the sake of your servant David, do not reject your anointed one. The Lord swore an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling, saying, This is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. I will bless her with abundant provisions. Her poor I will satisfy with food. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her faithful people will ever sing for joy. Here I will make a horn grow for David and set up a lamp for my anointed one. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but his head will be adorned with a radiant crown. Psalm 133, a song of ascents of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Psalm 134, a song of ascents. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who is the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 135. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise him, you servants of the Lord, you who minister in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praise to his name, for that is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob to be his own, Israel to be his treasured possession. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases him, in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain and brings out the wind from his storehouses. He struck down the firstborn of Egypt, the firstborn of people and animals. He sent his signs and wonders into your midst, Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants. He struck down many nations and killed mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, king of Bashan, and all the kings of Canaan. And he gave their land as an inheritance to his people Israel. Your name, Lord, endures forever. Your renown, Lord, through all generations. For the Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, nor is there breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All you Israelites, praise the Lord. House of Aaron, praise the Lord. House of Levi, praise the Lord. You who fear him, praise the Lord. Praise be to the Lord from Zion, to him who dwells in Jerusalem. Praise the Lord.
All right. Good evening again, my brothers and sisters. Let's push those unmuted buttons so I can hear you out there, and I'll know where we can start. Hello? Okay.
All right.
Hello, there, brother. Can you hear me?
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. How you feeling, good brother?
I'm feeling pretty good, man. Rough day at work,
okay.
But we'll get by.
All right. All right. I thank you. All right. Here we go. It may be us. I don't know. First question. Was David telling the Lord he's not a bad person in Psalms 131? True or false?
We have no takers. I just got in. Let me get to my question.
Okay.
There.
All right.
If not, you can improvise.
Yes, I'm on my way. But anyway, you'll probably be able to answer by hearing. I'm going to read the footnotes to it. Pride results from overvaluing ourselves above others. And he's already telling you, Lord, my heart is not proud. So he definitely don't be putting himself over others to make him have a greater value of pride. And it leads to relentless. It leads to relentless because it makes us dissatisfied with what we have and concerned about what everyone else is doing. So I guess the other part to that question is a matter of him stating that I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome. I got out of that is that if it don't concern working with the Lord or doing something that's going to be positive or advantageous to lifting God up, it doesn't concern him. He don't get involved in it. And if I'm wrong, I'm quite sure Pastor O will intervene.
Well, I think the answer is in verse 1. Lord,
yeah.
My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Seems like, you know, he knows what he can do, and he does that. But he's not proud enough to think he can do more than he can do. And he looks to the Lord to do those things that he cannot do. It sounds like that serenity prayer to me. Grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change and the wisdom to know the difference and all that good stuff right there. He knows what he can do, and he knows what God can do. He does what he can do, and he trusts God to do what God can do. So things like, why is the sun not shining today? That wouldn't be something I would concern myself with.
Right, exactly.
You know, that's not something that's God stuff.
Pay grade. All that's above his pay grade.
Actually, yeah. And he recognized the boundaries of his authority, his abilities, and all that good stuff.
That's kind of the second side of the footnote.
Uh-huh.
And then it says, it keeps us always hungering for more attention and adoration. By contrast, humility puts others first and allows us to be content with God's leading in our lives. Such contentment gives us security so that we no longer have to prove ourselves to others. Let humility and trust affect your perspective and give you the strength and freedom to serve God and others. Amen, my good brothers and sisters.
Right.
All righty. Well, so yes, he was trying to tell him that he wasn't a bad person. He does what he's supposed to be doing in the knowledge that he has accumulated about how he's supposed to act for the Lord. So I'm going to say, I had true. That was me.
And that was me too.
And I use verses 1 and 2. All right. We're going to question number 2 now. Unless someone has a comment, I apologize.
Nope, let's go to 2.
Okay, thank you. How are you today?
Uh-oh, sorry.
I got a footnote on number 2. It's not from the Life Application Bible, though, but it's talking about David has enjoyed his walk with God, in which he has steeled himself and quieted his soul. He was like a weaned child. You know, after a child gets enough milk, you burp them. Pretty soon, they're asleep. The point is, he was content.
So what Bible did you get that from? Since that footnote is going to be a little different from our...
It's from the Bible Gateway.
Bible Gateway, okay.
I used a computer program, the Bible Gateway computer program. It's pretty much like the Life Application Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But this footnote came out of the Expositor's Bible Commentary.
Oh. Okay.
Because I put footnote too for my answer along with the scripture and the footnote for this one.
Yeah. All righty. Let's go to question number 2. It reads, David promised to do what for who?
I said 1, 2, 2 through 5 and the footnote.
Exactly. Exactly. Footnote. Yeah.
Okay. So he made a solemn promise to the Lord. He vowed to the mighty one of Israel, I will not go home. I will not let myself rest. I will not let my eyes sleep nor close my eyelids in slumber until I find a place to build a house for the Lord, a sanctuary for the mighty one of Israel.
Amen. Exactly what I had. Go ahead with your footnote.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I don't have my glasses on, so hold on. Let me see. This refers to David's desire to build the temple. When David became king, he built a beautiful palace, but he was troubled that the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence among his people, remained in a tent. This so bothered David that he couldn't sleep until he corrected the situation. He began to lay the plans for the temple to house the ark. Eventually, the temple was built by his son Solomon. We must live so close to God that we become restless until God's will is accomplished through us.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that. That footnote is the one that cleans it up, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Say, Brother Deacon Eric, we do know that God had talked to David about building the temple, but since, I want to say his hands wasn't dirty, but God erected Solomon to build it because, I don't know, I think Pastor was saying that
he had blood on his hands or something sometimes.
Yeah, he had blood on his hands.
Mm-hmm.
So Solomon was elected to build the temple.
Yeah, he wanted Solomon to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. That is true. All right. Okay. My good brethren.
Thank you.
Question number three. We heard the ark was one place, but found it where?
That'll be in chapter 132. That'll be number six by itself. We heard that the ark was in Haifa, Euphoria.
Yes, I do.
I'm not going to mess with that name.
And then we found it in the distant countryside of Jar.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's the right. You got the right answer. Yes, six. Exactly. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Question four. This is a fill in the blank. For the Lord chose blank will be a glorious king.
I don't know. So I wasn't sure about this one because I did 11 and 12, but the blank part, I wasn't sure. Was it his descendants?
For number four. No, actually, for four, we start at verse 13.
Right.
133:13. Oh, okay.
I got it. You got it now?
His descendants. Okay. He chose the root.
Then it goes down to the conclusion of will be a glorious king, which was where? Let me see. What is that? 4. 13 through 18.
18, right.
Oh, yeah, 18, yeah. And you see the conclusion.
Okay.
Yeah, when them little dots in there, that's the filling in the blank.
Okay, I didn't know.
Okay. But we thank you for being here tonight, by all means. Thank you.
Okay. You want me to read that?
Yes, please, by all means.
If I can read it. I need to get my glasses. Okay, for the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. He has desired it for his home. This is my resting place forever, he said. I will leave here, for this is the home I desire. I will bless the city and make it prosperous. I will satisfy its poor with food, and I will clothe the priests with godliness, and its faithful servants will sing for joy. Here I will increase the power of David. My anointed one will be the light for my people. I will clothe his enemies with shame, but he will be a glorious king.
Amen, my sister. Thank you.
I'm going to get my glasses.
Now, see, that's what I tell y'all at church. Right. Question five. Question five, where are we at? Oh, based upon Psalms 133, is six brothers living together can keep harmony pleasant?
That starts at one, right? It starts at 133:1?
Verse 133:1, exactly. Yes, you are right. Go ahead.
It says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is a perfect.
Go ahead. Well, the harmony, the thing about that was it didn't say how many brothers.
Right.
It just said brothers, and I just threw six in there. I was wondering, was that going to catch anybody? Okay.
It did, because I went to searching for the number.
Thank you. See, that's some of the stuff that we got from one of these classes that we take.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, question number six. Precious anointing oil equal to harmony. Oh, I should have said do precious anointing oil equal to harmony. My apologies.
That's number two. Is this the next one, number two?
Yeah.
And it says, for harness is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his head and onto the border of his robe.
Yes.
That's good. The tiger on her job today. I love that. Question number seven. Why did the Lord pronounce his blessing life everlasting?
133:3 and the footnote?
And the footnote.
There we go. And when we do the footnote, we're doing the one with 1 through 3.
Oh, that's a lot of reading. Okay.
But so, it solidifies each verse we just went over, though.
Okay, so harmony is refreshing to the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessings, even life everlasting. And then, okay, the Psalms is about a very small group of Levites who served as temple watchmen, singing the psalm. The last of the song of ascent, the worshipers will ascend the hill where the temple sat and see the watchmen who protected it day and night. They saw the watchmen's work as an act of praise to God, done reverently and responsibly. Make your job or your responsibility in the church an act of praise by doing it with reverence to God. Honor him by the quality of your work and the attitude of your service you bring to it. Wow. Amen.
Amen. That's why I just chose the one that I really like. If one of y'all is sick, I'll bring your communion to you.
There you go.
That way I won't have no supervisor over my shoulder. When I get there, I can't be late. So I'm good. Yes, but whatever I can do that I know is going to be advantageous to lifting up the Lord, I try and do it if I'm qualified to do it. And the ones that I don't qualify, I know Janine did that message about sometimes you have to step out your lane. I say I get out of my lane. I get in the slow lane. Make sure I don't make that mistake. I know where I don't belong. But thank you for that answer, and thank you for the reading. We're going to go to question number 8. Why do you lift your hands toward the sanctuary?
134:2.
134:2. Let's see what we got. Well, hold, time out. Before we get started. Do one and two, please.
Okay. Oh, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you who serve at night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands toward the sanctuary and praise the Lord.
Right. Because in verse 1, I guess they were already, you know, they served the Lord at night, so, you know, they already in the house, so that's why I think 1 and 2 went together.
So it kind of threw me off because I thought you were looking, it was like, so we lift our hands in the sanctuary, and it's to praise, it's to praise the Lord. The Kirk Franklin song.
I was just looking for more,
but I guess it's just as simple as that.
My thought on that was, once you get all this, you get to study this, and you get to help somebody, and then you can redirect somebody back into the Word of God. You know, everything you're doing that you see as a responsibility that you can do, you can study it, and then once you study and learn it, you can go help somebody. And once you help somebody, you might can redirect somebody back to the Lord. I don't know. That was just my opinion. Now, you know, I can live with what you said by all means, but I mean, that's the side of the coin I was looking at.
All right.
I like that conclusion. All right.
All right. No, I'm just, I don't know why I was just expecting more, but I guess it doesn't have to be more. It is that. And that, those, and that right there is powerful enough.
Okay, fine. All right. Let's go to question number 9 then. It's a fill in the blank as well. Praise the Lord, blank, own special treasure. Something that you own.
Okay. I got chapter 135, and we're going to go with 5 all the way down. Let's see.
Ho.
Three and 4.
I thought it was 4.
Okay.
Three and 3.
Okay. 3 and 4. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
1, 9. We're on 9. 135. And you guys say 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go all the way 3 to 5.
No. 3 and 4 is it. Because you the conclusion of the second verse is own special treasure. That's mm-hmm. it. It's gotta get praise the Lord and own special treasure conclusion. So you
okay.
It's 1 and 2. Well, no, it's 3 and 4.
3 and 4, right.
Yes. Okay. Let's go to question 11. The Lord is unlimited to doing what it takes to please himself. That's going to be a true or false. And where and what else can he do?
That would be five to seven. So it says, I know the greatness of the Lord, that our God is greater than any other God. And the Lord does whatever pleases him throughout all heaven and earth and on the sea and in their depths. He causes the clouds to rise over the whole earth. He sends the lightning and the rain and releases the wind from his storehouses. Yep.
Okay, so, great answer.
So true. Mm-hmm.
Great answer.
Yeah. So true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Question number 12. What happened to the firstborn? What was performed and who got struck down?
Go ahead, Uncle Oliver. Sorry.
Okay. That'd be 135. I said 8 through 10.
Okay.
I gave 12. No, don't include 12?
Not just yet.
Okay.
We're going to need 12.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it reads as follows. He destroyed the firstborn in each Egyptian home, both people and animals. He performed miraculous signs and wonders in Egypt against Pharaoh and all his people. He struck down great nations and slaughtered mighty kings. Amen.
Amen. Okay, now let's go to the next question right away, which is 13. Where did the land come from for his people Israel? Now,
that'd be 12.
Okay.
You want me to, okay. Number 12. reasons followed. He gave their land as an inheritance and a special possession to his people Israel.
Okay, hold for 1 minute, please. Can you back up to 11 for me? Because this is where the land came from.
In 11?
Yes.
Is it Sihon, king of the Amorites?
Exactly.
King of Bashan and all the kings of Canaan. He gave their land as an inheritance, a special possession to his people Israel.
Amen. There we go. 11 and 12. That's what I had 12 with.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Now, 14. But I accept the 10 through 12, but that's what I had 12 basically signed up with. But anyway, as again, 14. What endures forever? What is known to everybody and who receives compassion?
That's 135, 13, and 14.
My brother, say it like you know it.
Okay. But here we go, just like this. Number 13 reasons following 14. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, is known to every generation. For the Lord will give justice to his people and have compassion on his servants. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That was so true. Yes. Now, our last question we will be concluding tonight with, what verses tell you about idols in Psalm 135?
15 through 18.
I'm listening.
The idols of the nations are merely things of silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak and eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear and mouths but cannot breathe. And those who make idols are just like them as are all who trust in them.
Amen. So true.
And then, you know, the footnote also helps, you know.
Go ahead. That's what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Those who worship idols were as blind and insensitive as the idols themselves. They couldn't see or hear what God had to say. Impressionable days, we became like the idols we worship. In the true God is your God. You will become more like him as you worship him. What are your goals? What takes priority in your life? Choose carefully because you will take on the characteristics of whatever you worship.
Amen.
You know what?
It's true.
That last one, that last sentence, I had to do myself because some of the things that were, I thought had some value to me, really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, I'm just like, I had come to a conclusion, okay, dude, it ain't about you at all. You got to realize that. So all this that you think is making you something, this or this or that, or you can go get this or go get that, it changed into like now none of those type of things really saved me now. And I'm glad it took me this long to see it, but I'm glad I did have the opportunity to visualize it myself. You know, I could see, okay, dude, you ain't got to do that. Just live a different life now. And I'm trying my best. I'm working at it continuously. Because I had fun. Let me put it this way. When I was in the street, I gave the street 100. Now that I'm trying to work for the Lord, I try to give the Lord 100.
Okay.
Bottom line, that's where I'm at. and it may not be bright enough for some of the people I'm around, I apologize. I ain't shining or illuminating the way you may want me to, but at some point I may reach that point. And that's it. But
here's
we will continue that class for tonight, and I thank you guys for your participation. We're going to bring the one and only Pastor O on to conclude us in announcements and services for Saturday and so on and so forth. Take it away, my pastor.
Amen. We want to keep Mother Irma Miller in prayer and everybody else who has sought prayer and needs prayer, prayer that you know people need and prayer I know people need. And we know everybody needs prayer about something. Keep our country in prayer because we have been, we're in an uproar and over the abortion rights issue. And for Christians, it's a tricky road to try to navigate. We don't know which side to go down. Ultimately, we are not for abortion. We are against it. And so we find ourselves having to stand with some funny people in the room. But that's our position. But one thing that we want to keep in mind is that man tends to make horrible choices quite often. We make horrible choices. But one thing that God has never done to us, and that is take choice from us. He tells us, I set before you two roads. One is life and one is death. Choose life. That's what he tells us. But he tells us to choose. So what's going on is a group of old, wrinkly old men and a woman has gotten together and somehow it got leaked out that we're going to tell women what they can and cannot do with their own body. We're going to do what God does not do. God wouldn't take choice from them, so we're going to do it. We're going to stop it. And what I like is what the vice president said, Kamala Harris. She said, and I never thought about it, how many reproductive laws do we have against men who run around jumping in the bed with women, telling all kind of lies, getting them pregnant, and then going on Maury talking about I ain't the daddy. So why don't we make some laws against men? If you're not married and you want to have sex and you think you're going to get this girl pregnant, go get yourself fixed.
Right.
And since we're telling women what to do with their bodies for their health, then let's tell these jackleg men who are running around turning women into mothers and fathers, let's do something with them. There are no laws on the books at all against men. And yet some old wrinkly old men want to get together and say, we are going to tell women what they can and cannot do with their bodies. That's going too far. Now you're doing what God has not done. I mean, yes, Adam and Eve, you could make a worse choice than that one. Well, what about the choice Cain made after talking to God to kill Abel? Could have made a worse choice than all the people in the world who didn't get on the boat. But when Noah got to the other side, did God say, you no longer have choice. Y'all can't handle that. You don't get to choose no more. God didn't do that. Even though God hates those horrible choices that we make, because those choices hurt us. In the long run, they hurt us. And that's why God hates them so much. But he allows us to make choices, and we try to do that with our kids. We're so scared for them to become an adult. We don't want them to have to make choices on their own, but we have to give that up and let them choose the life they want to live, and there's nothing we can do about it because that's their choice.
No, go ahead, Pastor.
And so I think that we just go, you know, that we need to pray about that because, you know, we've gone too far when we start taking away people's choices and taking their right to choose. You know, we know we don't like the way they choose. But ultimately, that's their choice, especially when it affects their health.
Right.
Okay, what did you want to say?
So I was saying that I was thinking about it from a little different aspect, too. I had a friend that called me, and I love her. She's She calls and she always asks, I'm not sure if you, because I hadn't watched the news. I had been working. I didn't even know it had got leaked. And she called and she spoke to me. And she said, I know, but based on your faith, it's a heart. And then I said, you know, I didn't even know. I have to think about it and pray about it. I said, but the one thing I know, and I thought about it from, is that we are not to judge. Who am I? I can't judge a woman for what she does with her body. I, you know, so I was just thinking about it in the judgment aspect of it, you know. And then it goes back to me thinking, too, of people always want to say, what's the worst sin? Sin is sin. We don't have a top five, top three, all of it. And they always want to say, ooh, Lord, that's a sin. Yeah, but it's not number. Sin is sin. So I was thinking from it from that aspect. So that's
right. You know, we out of all the laws we have, this law is directly against a woman's choice, and it's because, and it's pushed by the evangelical right. Okay, that ultra-conservative Christian group, the same ones who pushed prohibition and raised up a whole bunch of gangsters that we have still have with us today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you cannot legislate righteousness. That's why God didn't even try it. He gave them, you say, well, you say, Pastor, you mean God didn't legislate righteousness. Why he gave them those laws? Well, God didn't give them laws to save them. God didn't give them laws to keep them permanently. Those laws were there till Jesus came. And then under Jesus, we do what we do because we love him, not because we're trying to ingratiate ourselves to him or make him love us or make ourselves right with God. We do it because of what he has done. And that's
right.
What God wants. He wants people to choose life because they love him and because they choose his way. They recognize the image of God. And,
right.
And like you say, who are we to say when somebody get caught up in the situation, who are we to tell them what to do unless we're going to handle that business? If we ain't going to handle that business, then we need to shut up and let them make their own choice. Now, we can pray for them to carry the child to term, and if when you have the child, you still feel like you don't want to raise the child, put the child up for adoption, and make arrangements ahead of time, especially if you're a Christian, to have the child to go into a Christian home. That way, in the future, maybe the parents will, the adoptive parents will understand that if the natural parent ever comes to their senses, then all three can parent together, and God would love that as well. But this thing that we're about to go into, see, I remember, I'm not that old, but I remember back in the 70s when they did not have a place for you to go and have that medical procedure. And I remember hearing stories of hangers and people bleeding out from hemorrhaging and taking chemical concoctions to try to a chemical abortion, and they were just killing themselves. The reason Roe v. Wade exists is because of that. And here
right.
we are about to repeat the same. Like, so you say people can't have abortions, they're going to stop. Really?
Yeah. Right.
You say people can't rob banks, so they don't rob banks. You say people can't go faster than 70, so they don't go faster than 70. Really? Every time you say people can't do something, somebody do it.
And what about the people that the choice was never given to them, that the horrible situations when there's rape or, you know, or family incest and things, that choice, they didn't have an option, and now you're telling them they got to traumatized by that and they got to be traumatized by something else. That's another thing of judging. Who are you to judge?
Exactly.
That's
and see,
how they
some
want
things
it.
Are
that's
just.
That's how they want it. That's how they
some
want it.
Things
you
are
you
just.
Have a choice, even if you rape.
Yeah.
Exactly. And right here in Michigan, because of the 1931 law that's still on the books, if this thing does, and it's, you know, they didn't already put the. But the only way it will change is that there's a great uproar in America, and the justices see that, hey, if we're here for America, then we can't do this. But if, as far as it looks now, it's a done deal. And that means that's why Governor Whitmer is moving so quickly to try to do something about that law that's on the books, have it ruled unconstitutional, because if so, Michigan would be one of the strictest abortion states in the United States. Because of that stupid law they had on the books that they never dealt with. My daughter and I was talking some time ago, and when she was in law school, and we were talking about some of the dumbest laws in the world that are still on the books, and we haven't dealt with them. And now something like this comes up, and now that law becomes, it's always been there, and they never cared.
Because they never struck it down.
Roe v. Wade. But they thought in 50 years Roe v. Wade would never go away, and the evangelical right been trying for years to legislate this righteousness, and they finally got it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it goes, if this draft becomes the opinion of the court, then immediately Michigan will be the strictest non-abortion state in the United States instantly. Because of that stupid law that's still on the books.
Imagine what other rights they're going to go for to take from us. We're just...
Oh, gay marriage is out. Anything to do with transgenders is out. Any other law that is not heterosexual is out. Any other thing they don't like that got its freedom, it derived its freedom from Roe v. Wade.
They got its freedom.
Well, that's out, too.
Yeah.
Huh?
They got his freedom.
they're going crazy with it. Now, here's the question, though. Historically, if you pay attention in America, say from Carter forward or Reagan forward, usually when the incumbent president is in office and you come to the midterm elections like we're coming up this year, normally we would flip Republican because everybody mad at the Democrats because they ain't do nothing to fix the whole country in a year. So in a pandemic at that. And so they get mad, and then they usually throw the Republicans. And I know if you've paid any attention to CNN or MSNBC, not the comedy news, Fox News, but the real news, you know that historically,
the real news,
Fox News is something a whole other thing. So they usually flip Republican, and then by 2024 they'll be mad because Republicans blocked everything the Democratic president wanted to do, like Obama, and then they give you a second term. And that can go either way. George Bush got a second term because he got blocked by a Democratic Congress. So they gave him a second term. So that's the way that goes. So if historically the Republicans take over, just like you hear Schumer talking about codifying Roe v. Wade to make sure that it remains the law of the land no matter what the court does, well, and to do that, they'll have to get rid of the filibuster. And if they get rid of the filibuster and the Republicans take over right after they do that, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to codify no abortions in America. So we're in a strange place, and we got to pray. But what needs to happen is Democrats are going to have to mobilize, or else their choices are gone. If black folks get mad because we didn't get John Lewis, we didn't get the George Floyd, we didn't get the Voting Rights Bill, if we get mad and say, I ain't voting because of that, then Republicans will take over. And if you think this right was taken away and it makes you angry, they got a hold. Because Republicans never have ideas for the country. You never hear them talk about, we're going to lower inflation, we're going to decrease unemployment, they never have those kinds of policy ideas.
Right. They just attack the Democrats. Every suggestion the Democrats come up with, they attack.
And that's what they do.
What's your plan? Oh, we're gonna release it, but they never come up with anything.
No, well, Donald Trump's still releasing his plan for health care.
Yeah.
Well,
and
Obama,
his wall,
he's gonna replace
and all that stuff.
The Republicans been trying since Obama to replace Obamacare, and they still to this day have no plan to replace it. But if they can, they'll get rid of it. And see, yep. They got their little conservative court up there. We might as well forget talking about the Supreme Court is nonpartisan. They are totally partisan. You got 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And now those 6 Republicans, when they send that mess back up there, they'll, you know, they've been chomping at the bit to get rid of stuff.
He stacked the court. They wouldn't let Obama put anybody on, and he stacked the court.
Yeah, and now they got that 6-3 division, and it's a wrap. I mean, but if Democrats are usually lackadaisical and don't pay attention, especially in a midterm election, you have to get hyped to vote in a – now, the reason we went out and voted in the last election and pushed it over is because of Kamala. If it had just been Joe and somebody else, okay – but we get excited when we get excited, and when we go out, whoever we go out for, that's who get elected. But when we don't go out, you end up with Republicans. And see, we kind of mad now because Black Lives Matter all over the country, right? And then no George Floyd, no John Lewis Bill, no Voting Rights Act.
And what's happening down in Atlanta, the young lady, Stacey Abrams, the things in – How you gonna run for a position that you have control over the vote? That you run for another position, but and you can control the vote. You can control the number. You count the vote, and that's a position, and that's not illegal. Come on now.
All we need is 11,780 votes exactly, one more than they got, and we. This is crazy. Georgia is a strange place. That is a whole not Georgia is a whole other place. Yep. I don't even know what's going on down there. You got
and the Texas Republican and Florida is flipping, and even here in Michigan, you got to look back. Like you said, if you look at the number that Trump won Michigan by, and you look at the number of people that was Detroit, the city of Detroit did not come out and vote.
Yeah,
he didn't even.
And when they came out and voted,
$3,000. I think it was like what 11 or 12 or 14,000 votes or something that he won Michigan by. It wasn't even a lot.
And it came right out of Wayne County.
Yep.
And I'm like, you know,
but
that's what happens when. And the last election was won by Wayne County.
Yep.
Okay, that's what threw Biden to the top, as far as Michigan is concerned. So when we come out, when we finally figure out that we are a majority, you know, black and brown and other non-whites are majorities, are the majority in America, and that is what's caused so much fear in the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
See, because if you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, what scared white America so much is the Black Lives Matter movement was half white.
Yeah.
We saw just as many white folks out there as black. And so that's a whole different kind of movement right there. That's a righteous movement. And when you get something like that going, then you can't be stopped.
Like we've been
talking
about that unity and harmony.
That unity, when like the Lord said, when people went nuts over there in the plains of Dura and decided to do one thing, the Lord said, the people have become like us, and now nothing that they imagine to do will be impossible to them. So when we become one, white, black, and other, when we become one, that little bitty group that's running around, the Trumpians, they don't stand a chance. They lose.
Right. I have my 13-year-old grandson. He's studying the Freedom Riders. You need to understand it. You need to understand the history and the struggle and what people have lost lives and just for you to vote, and you won't even do that. The right to even get an education, and you won't fight for that. I have TJ studying that. We were watching a movie, and the Freedom Riders came up. He was like, oh, Freedom Riders. So he knows what that is. But you need to understand what they did. These people, when they got on a bus, they filled out their wheels because they didn't know if they were coming back from going down to the South to sign people up to vote. And our young people don't know anything about that.
Exactly.
My mom and dad went.
Yeah.
That's because somebody's not, you know, passing it down. Somebody's not telling the story. We're not telling the story anymore. We ain't sharing the struggle. And, you know, we feel like we've got, our new story is go to school, get a good job, you'll make good money, you'll get a nice house, you'll live in a nice, that's our new story. You know, that's our new story.
Or you can be a rapper, basketball player, football player, and you can own the world.
When before, it used to be, the story was, you may not have a lot because of our situation in this country, but you have your dignity, you have your pride, hold your head up. Those were the things that were the values that we had. It's like what Kathy's show is all about, is bring back the family, is bring back those family values. And when we hear that, you say, see, that's old-fashioned. That's not going to happen. Well, that has to happen again, because that's when God was ruling and people were able to overcome anything. And nowadays, this new message we got is not working. It is not working. Yeah. But anyway, that's a whole lot of that. So pray
that's
for
a whole other class.
I only wanted to say two things about that. So pray for our country and understand this. No, we are not promoting abortion. No, we're not. But what we are promoting is what God gave us, and that's choice. And if God don't take choice from us, see, Billy Graham, what a lot of people don't know about Billy Graham, and that's why I put it in my book.
Uh-huh.
Billy Graham was a staunch conservative, okay, straight up Republican, and he was dead set against abortion. But when he saw those groups going around blowing up clinics and getting out in front of the clinic and intimidating people with all kinds of threats, he left the conservative movement. And this, you will not hear this in conservative circles. He left the conservative movement and took a position of prayer and contemplation. And what that meant was he went back to, you hear about three people in the Catholic Church who founded orders. One is Dominic of Guzman. He founded the Dominicans. And then you have St. Francis. He founded the Franciscans. And then you have Ignatius Loyola, who founded, bless you, the Jesuits. Okay? If you pay close attention to these three groups, they were protests against the Catholic Church and their methods of bringing people to Christ. They would, if you didn't accept Christ, they would kill you. Okay? So Dominic, St. Francis, Ignatius Loyola, these three got together to show the church another way of doing it. And that was through making an argument in favor of Jesus being the Christ, and you should accept him as your Savior, giving people the freedom to choose Christ rather than forcing them into Christianity. Okay, Billy Graham took that same position concerning abortion. He said that it would be better for us to try to reach out to these people with the love of God and explain things, okay, and try to win them by argument rather than blowing up clinics, killing abortion doctors. Y'all remember when that was happening? Okay,
yes.
That's what they were doing. And so he got out of the movement and took that new position, a position of discussion. Okay, let's talk about it. Not me hate you because of that. Not me want to kill you or blow up your house or your business or place of work because of that. And so, no, we're not promoting or advocating for abortion. But what we are is trying to protect the rights that God gave us. God gave us the right to choose. And we've made horrible choices all throughout history. But he has never taken it from us. He has never said you cannot choose. I wish you would go this way. But if you choose to go that way, Adam and Eve, don't eat from that tree. You'll die. But I'm going to leave you the opportunity or the ability to choose. And now we're better than God. We're holier than the Lord himself. And we will legislate righteousness. You cannot have an abortion. and that's going to stop it. If that would work, the Lord would have hollered out from heaven a long time ago, you shall not sin. Soon as you're born and can hear, that'd be first thing you hear. You can't sin. And then nobody would sin. Are you kidding me? God told Adam and Eve the day that they ate from that tree, they were going to die. Did they eat from that tree?
Yes,
they did.
Yes, they did.
So if God didn't take, say, look, I'm going to hook it up with y'all again because you nutty as fruitcake, so I'm going to hook it up with you. But that's it. No more choosing. You don't even have, you're like an animal now. I'm going to make you instinctual. You'll just do by instinct. We like to praise the animals because they do what God told them to do, but they ain't got no choice. That's the way they were made. But we were made with choice so we can freely choose God. And I don't think the church, especially the evangelical whacked out right, I don't think they get it. That God does not is not happy. They're rejoicing, and they're no more abortions. Are you crazy? Then why don't you outlaw bank robbery? Why don't you outlaw domestic violence? Why don't you outlaw child abuse? And then we'll have no more of that.
You can't even get them to put on a mask.
You can't even mandate a vaccination to stop people from dying. You can't even mandate that. But you're going to mandate no abortions. Really? And ask yourself, out of all the things they should mandate us not to do, why you pick that one? Why abortion? Why does that stick in your craw more than any other sin that we commit? Why that one?
Right, we got homelessness. We got so much other stuff. We got people that need mental health. Come on.
Why does that bother you? Why does that make you not able to sleep at night? So when you think about it like that, who's really doing this? Okay, so let's say they June comes, judgment come down, Roe v. Wade's out. Do you think the end result, what will happen the day after? Is something God did or something Satan did? It's going to lead to, once again, either doctors putting their life on the line to perform these procedures because they're going to be merciful, and then they'll end up going to jail, or either the people will be back to hangers and back to falling on their stomachs, getting pushed downstairs and going through all kinds of ways to end a pregnancy. And who's going to get hit the hardest? People who can't travel anywhere to go get one in a place where you can get it. And then the devil is real tricky. He's setting up laws in the places that say you can't get it. They say if somebody leave Michigan to go somewhere to get one, you need to tell on them. We'll pay you money. Okay? And we'll arrest anybody who try to help them.
Right. The morning after, that they gonna give you an aspirin or something that can kill you, and you know you pay them to have some mail to you, and it's still, you know, it's just so much. It opens up so much.
Yes, like you say, they gonna go to mail order, and then they mail order in a triple dose of fentanyl, which they are calling the morning after. They don't care. They just want to make money. They are completely consciousless and heartless, and they do not care. So they'll just give you some fentanyl. They're putting fentanyl in cocaine. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy. Yeah. Praise God. I ain't come up in these days. I'd have been. Anyway, that's a whole other story. But again, so Sunday is Mother's Day, and our guest preacher is Minister Lachelle Anderson. And she's excited and, you know, all prayed up. She is definitely a woman of prayer. I asked her in 2021, would she do this for us? And I didn't hear nothing from her until 2022. So she said she had prayed and talked to the Lord, and she finally said yes. So definitely somebody who is into the Lord. So she'll be our guest preacher. Okay. And Saturday's preacher is Pastor John McFaul. He has the preaching duties on this Saturday. Amen.
All right.
And teachers, look at your email.
Uh-oh.
Because when we add teachers, the teaching schedule changes. Okay? So the teaching schedule has changed. Okay? It's going to be easier for some, you know, the books you had. For the most part, you still got. I tried to make these changes without, because if you've already studied those books, you know, I tried to fix it where you wouldn't have to go to a whole new set. So check your email. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to call you after we, I'll call you. I need to talk to you. Okay. Continue.
Okay, so I'm pretty much set there.
All right. Any of my brothers and sisters have anything they would like to add or contribute or might want to take away from what Pastor O said? No? Okay.
This is Pastor Terrence Tate. I didn't want to ask prayer for all the people that are having to deal with the, I didn't want to ask prayer for all the families of the women who are going to be impacted with this abortion law, because this abortion law not only does it affect the woman that is carrying the baby, it affects the families of that woman that's carrying the baby. So keep the families of these women that are having babies in prayer, because they're taking this abortion law as hard as the women are that are carrying these babies. And these babies are so valuable to God.
Yes, he says that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I agree with you, so I will say amen to that.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Well, to all my brothers and sisters, are there any other comments or statements you may like to make?
No.
Okay. All righty. We're going to pray this out, and we're going to call this a day. I thank you for your time, and stay tuned for next week. We'll be doing this again at 6 o'clock. So at this time, we're going to pray ourselves out. Dear Father God, I say thank you for the opportunity of being able to read your word, get a chance to study your word, try and get clarity to certain verses of your word. Lord, we thank you for the footnotes that enhances what the word is about. Lord, we thank you for giving us some chance of getting clarity, the revelation of your word. All we ask is allow us to be able to do the work that you have decided you wanted us to do, and that we do it in the way that you wanted it done. Hopefully we please you in some shape, form, or fashion, whether it be through word or through action. We just saying thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Pastor O. Take a summit.
Good energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me. It's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, we need. His blessings on me. I feel the grace. I don't deserve it. It's just His pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me. If you agree, can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning.
Thank you, God.
To get it in. No, I'm not playing. This is my trend. No, I'm not perfect. I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self. Turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop.
Hands.
Yeah. I feel good. I'm so grateful. I feel good. I'm so thankful. I feel good. Man, I'm so blessed. I feel good. Hands up.
Hands.